Welcome to Dragon Football Weekly, brought to you by Tri-State Communications Sports Network. I'm Tucker Green alongside Jess Walker. It is getting into fall weather here, Jess. Really nice outside. It feels like football time.
It does. Nice, about mid-50s this morning, heading out to go to work. A little brisk in the air. Felt much better than, say, our second game of the season when we were battling a 90-degree temperature at a 7:30 kickoff. So, yeah, I imagine this Friday will be much more comfortable for us and should be comfortable for maybe about a month until we're worried about the opposite end of the spectrum with maybe cooler temperatures.
No doubt. Well, on to the important things, football at hand. Just a broadcasting note, we will have no interview on the show today because we got a lot to unpack. We have region play at hand. Dragon starting this Friday night at home against Lumpkin. From here on out, the rest of the remainder of the regular season will be all region contest, which is really where things begin to count, and we'll have the playoff postseason implications. That's very important. So we did this last year. We're going to do it again this week on the show. We're going to have a in-depth region preview for you, so you have all the stats on what to expect, teams in the region, and where things kind of stand, predictions, expectations, everything. These will be the teams the Dragons face in the coming weeks. Now, two round out non-region play that occurred last Friday with the Dragons' first road game of the season when they traveled up to Dalton, Georgia to take on Christian Heritage. That game, unfortunately, ended up to be a pretty competitive, well, I say unfortunately, on the good side, it was a competitive contest for the most part. Unfortunately, it was not the end result we wanted to see as Pickens fans. Jess, you want to go ahead and unpack that game against the Lions from last Friday night?
Yeah, so it did end up being exciting. Kind of in the last 8 minutes or so of the game, you got a lot of excitement out of it. And the game was close early on, too. It was kind of in the middle where Christian Heritage built a little bit of a lead. But in case you missed it, we'll kind of take you through it step by step. There were three short drives to begin the game, two by Pickens, one by Christian Heritage, before Christian Heritage was eventually able to open up the scoring off of a 13-play drive, which resulted in a touchdown from quarterback Carter Triplett to receiver Item. You'll hear Triplett's name called out a lot. He was very impactful throughout the game. I think one of the better quarterbacks we have seen this year, seen a lot of good ones. Now, what may not seem so large, what happens next, I felt like it played an impact throughout the game. So after they put 6 points on the board, Christian Heritage elects to fake the field goal, their traditional point after attempt, end up converting 2 points, building an 8-0 lead. And that just kind of has a ripple effect throughout the game. Pickens is able to immediately answer with a McCord Purdy kickoff return. They do elect not to answer with a 2-point attempt of their own, elect to kick, try to make the score 7-8, but it's actually blocked. So they carry that score of 6-8 to the end of the first quarter. In the second quarter, you have another Carter Triplett passing touchdown, and they make it 15-6. Pickens again answers with a touchdown by Miguel Salto. However, this time they do elect to go for two and fail. So at the half, you have a 12-15 Pickens deficit down by three. However, both teams have scored two touchdowns. So throughout the game, just that one 2-point conversion, you have two failures by Pickens, just really resulted in a lot of decision making and a field goal lead, despite the fact that each touchdown was answered. And I think that you even saw the impact stretching into the second half.
Yeah, no doubt. It was, I think, things that had to keep your attention the first half of those point afters, very quick 90 plus yard return from McCord Purdy. I think we should highlight that too, in that for the first time we began to notice, though, early in the game that the offense for the Dragons struggled a little. That's something that really hadn't been an issue throughout the season. They've had some issues on the defensive side, but offensively they've been pretty clicking between their young skill players, veteran quarterback in Sam Stryker. But the offense slowed a little in the first half, again, with one of those two scores coming from a 90-plus yard kick return from McCord Purdy. We kind of see that continue. I think that also plays a factor in the game. And Christian Heritage we'll note they pretty much continued to score and put long, sustaining drives throughout the second half, pretty much starting right at the beginning of the third quarter, Jess.
Yeah, they do. They open up the third quarter with just a six-play drive, but it was a little bit shorter because the touchdown was so long, nearly a 50-yard, a little bit over 50 yards, actually, from Carter Triplett again to receiver Sawyer Korn. That's his third touchdown pass on the day. Opens up a 10-point lead. Pickens answers in a way with a long drive of their own, 12 plays, but then can't convert. You should recall, if you were listening, that they had the fourth down, went for it, had a man in the end zone, just dropped the pass. I think this was a big momentum shift in the game. If the Dragons would have been able to complete that play, they would have continued the trend of answering every touchdown. After that was failed, resulted in Christian Heritage extending the lead out to 28-12. Things felt pretty bleak at this point, but it's actually kind of the point where they start to turn around. The first of a couple big plays and almost a little bit of luck thrown in. Fourth and 15, there is a reverse called to Hayden Jones, and the play is completely blown up. He has really nowhere to go. He reverses field, ends up finding himself converting the first down, which leads to a touchdown and a missed point after attempt, struggling all night with the point after attempts and in all varieties, had a block, had a failed two-pointer, and then this one, just a miscue by Gibbons, just missed the PAT. Leaves us at 18-29. They fail the onside kick, but do force a turnover on downs by Christian Heritage. And then again, they take over with 3:42 left, have another fourth down play, throw up. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a prayer, but it was close. Ezra Faber heavily defended. Stryker really has no choice. He has to get rid of the ball, has to try to complete this fourth down. The ball is tipped up in the air, caught by Faber, who then takes it the length of the field for a touchdown, failed the two-pointer to try to cut it to a field goal. That leaves us 29-24. We're kicking back to Christian Heritage with just under 2 minutes left. Once again, can't convert the onside and can't get a stop, and they take that lead to the end of the game to finish us off with a 29-24 victory in a game that ended up being more excited than it looked like it was going to be at the beginning of the fourth.
Yeah, and we talked about on air Friday night the similarities in that game to the game last year against Christian Heritage. Also, the way a couple of different games this season have played out, both Fannin as well as North Murray. The score last year, 24-22, was the final in our favor. This year, as you stated, 29-24, unfortunately, in their favor. But interesting, these continual parallels in the games last season to this season. Now, unfortunately, this loss does put the Dragons overall at 1-3 on the season. Three losses in a row to North Murray, Fannin, and now Christian Heritage. The only victory coming in that season opener at home against Sonorville. Continues to be some struggles. I'm interested to hear your takeaways from the game. I think it was some issues we've seen in other games this season, but also probably some new things that at least for me, caught me a little off guard, some of the offensive struggle and things of that nature. I do think there was a couple of key players to highlight. You mentioned Carter Triplett, quarterback for Christian Heritage, three passing touchdowns and one rushing. Very talented young man. I think he did a very good job and clearly dominated one of the dominant players on the field all night Friday night. We called his name many, many times. Kudos to him. I think he was for sure the standout. For us, probably the sophomore McCord Purdy. He, as we noted, had that 90-yard touchdown return, kickoff touchdown return, really showing his athleticism and speed. He also had a receiving touchdown. The secondary for Christian Heritage really had pretty good coverage all night long. A little close coverage at times. We thought sometimes maybe getting a little too touchy, but they played things tight, no doubt about it, which made it a little more difficult for people like McCord. But I thought he adjusted pretty well and had a fairly good game on the picking side.
Yeah, he did. And our key players, you know, you can kind of those are two that I think had the largest impact for both teams. But just going through the recap of the game, the names that you hear, you know, those are the guys that are making the key plays. And, of course, you know, there are others. It's hard for us defensively sometimes to keep track of who did what, unless it's something like game one, like Charlie Gibbons had, where he has, you know, a monster game, you know, the three sacks, ends up forcing a fumble that leads to a touchdown. So we don't mean to leave those guys out. It is just kind of harder for us to track defensively those guys that are making the small plays and doing what they can. Two of the biggies that I took away, I already talked about the impact of the early two-point conversion. It may just be one additional point, but it forces the opposing coach to make decisions all game long and forces them to potentially stray away from their game plan. I think a great gamble by the Christian Heritage staff to go that route. Now, thing about great gambles is, you know, they always are great only if they pay off, and if they don't pay off, then they're not great. So there's two sides to that coin. But in this case, it did pay off, and it did force Pickens to adjust throughout the game, and I think it played a big dividend. And then just missed tackles. Carter Triplett, he had a great game, and he is a talented individual. But there were multiple occasions where a number of dragons, you know, it's not just like one-on-one, but had several opportunities to stop him. At the touchdown he scored near the beginning of the fourth quarter, it was a 21-yard touchdown, but he probably ran, you know, he probably covered almost double that, just running through the dragon defense. And it started out on the right side of the field. He had a couple men had opportunity to contain him in the backfield, couldn't. He breaks through. Then you've got a second level defense. He reverses it completely and ends up, you know, scoring on the left side of the end zone. And it was just – it was poor fundamental defense. I don't mean to harp. I'm normally very optimistic, and I will continue to be as we go into the region preview. But that is one thing that is going to have to change. And I think it's one thing that was done well in the win, because you had a very similar player to Carter Triplett in Sonorville, quarterback Jackson Pate. And even though he made a lot of plays, there were a lot of plays too that we kept him from making and kept him contained and kept him bottled up. And so I think that is one thing that has changed from that first week of the season is the defensive play. And this is something the coaching staff is well aware of and will have opportunity to address. They will get a tough opener, as we will highlight after the upcoming break in region play. But I do think there are opportunities to pick up wins and finish the season strong like last year.
Lots more to unpack on the other side of this break as we get into really the key games that count towards postseason. Region preview on the other side. We check in with our sponsors. Stay with us.
With Northside Hospital, you can look forward to new beginnings, look ahead to comeback seasons, and look up for hope and strength. Northside welcomes you into our community of care, guided by one clear direction, a mission to heal. Led by our expertise in maternity, heart, cancer, orthopedics, and more, you can move into tomorrow with confidence. For a healthier future together, look to Northside Hospital.
Feed all the hungry people in your family at Culver's of Jasper. Their signature butter burgers are fresh, never frozen, and the frozen custard is the perfect treat. Culver's of Jasper is locally owned and operated by local people who care about our community. Their passion for fresh food is as strong as their love for the community. They're proud of where they're located and how their local roots have made them who they are. Get fresh food now at Culver's of Jasper, just in front of Walmart.
Finding the right home for your family is important. The journey can be time-consuming and difficult. You want the right size, the perfect location, and great internet. ETC makes it easy to see what internet services you can get for your future or current home. Visit etcfiber.com, enter your address, and get an overview of all available services with pricing. No more internet surprises. Check before you buy. Make sure your home is right for you with ETC Ignite Internet, offering speeds up to 2.5 gigs. Call 844-708-5288 or visit etcfiber.com.
Back now on Dragon Football Weekly. As always, we appreciate you tuning in to hear all the insight into the football season here for our local Pickens Dragons. Want to now dive right into the region preview as region contests do begin this Friday night. across North Georgia, with the Pickens Dragons taking on the Lumpkin County Indians this Friday night at home. We'll, of course, have coverage of that game for you, starting with the Northside pregame show at 7 p.m. and kickoff 7:30 on 93.7, 98.1 FM and streaming online. I want to go right into the 2022 standings just to paint a picture for you. Last year, Dawson County going 6-0 in region and undefeated in the region, winning it, obviously. Lumpkin County with an overall region record 4-2, finished second place. Pickens actually took the third place with a 4-2 finish. Very strong finish in region play, which is something we'll talk about later on. Wesleyan got fourth place with a 4-2 region finish. White County and Gilmer were at 5th and 6th, both 2-4 in the region. West Hall 0-6 overall in region play. All those teams remain the same this season. That's all the teams that will be in the region again. It's on a 2-year rotation, so we're locked. We were locked for the 22 season, now locked for the 23 season. And basically, locations just flipped. If we played at home, we'll travel to that location. If we went on the road to them last year, we'll be at home this year. Jess, let's get in now. I know people are wondering, well, what's happening with the 23 season? That's the one we're in. I do think 22 obviously provides a lot of good context. What are the Maxwell projections? We talk about and cite that a lot week by week. What are the overall Maxwell projections for Region 7 this season?
A little bit different, actually, than what we cite week to week. So we do, and I was getting ready to explain this, so that's actually a good little segue. Massey is what we cite week to week, and then Maxwell is more of a overall for the season. So Massey is an online kind of math-based algorithm, and it uses recent history to predict matchup by matchup, where this is Maxwell. It also uses math, also an algorithm based on history, weighting the most recent history more heavily, but it is a forecast more for the entire season, not necessarily like last week we do Pickens versus Christian Heritage. This is more off of how Pickens will finish for the year in Dawson, Wesleyan, the entire region. So keep in mind that the Maxwell, they do not take, you know, player personnel or coaching changes into account. So it's purely what has your team done lately. So it could be drastic. We saw some drastic misses by them last year. I have one that I think is a drastic miss again by them this year, but I will acknowledge their work. It does have its moments, and it does tell a large portion of truth while maybe leaving out a little bit of reality. So here we go through their projections. They've got Dawson slated to finish first, Wesleyan 2, White County 3, Pickens 4, Gilmer 5, Lumpkin 6, and West Hall 7. I actually want to take you through one by one to give my kind of idea on how the teams stack up. There will be some of this I agree with and some I do not. So we can go ahead and jump into that portion. I think we plan on having a, I wouldn't say deep dive into each team, but kind of a little preview on what each team's got and how I think the region is going to shake out. I kind of see this in tiers, and I've got three tiers that I'm going to, as we list each team, going to list out which tier they fall in. It's an upper, a lower, and then kind of the middle. So if we want to go ahead and jump into that, Tucker, you good with jumping into region preview for the 2023 season?
Let's do it. Let's dive right in.
All right, so we're going to start. I'm going to do I'm actually not reading this off by my tiers. I'm going to read them by the 2022 results. So we'll start with the returning champions. Dawson County went 6-0 and won the region handily last year. This year, they're off to a little bit of a rough start. However, I don't think it tells the whole story. They are 0-4 to start this season, but the strength of schedule has been tough. Three of those four losses come to Lambert, North Hall, and Stevens, who are all undefeated. So they are beefing up their non-region schedule and playing very tough opponents, and even at larger schools too. Stevens is a 3A school, but Lambert and North Hall, as well as Jackson County, their fourth loss, all larger schools. Now, something to take into account, they did start out 2-2 last year against those same opponents, so maybe falling off a little bit. I think a lot of what Dawson boasts is their strong recent history within the program, and that's a reason that even though they've started 0-4 so far this season, that I think they should be feared and will be a factor in region play. They've had 8 straight winning seasons and playoff appearances under Sid Maxwell. That's every year he's been at Dawson. Obviously does a great job with these kids. Consistent play year in, year out. So even though that 0-4 start and maybe 2 wins less than they had at this point last year, I still think they're going to be a threat to be even at the top of the region. They return starting quarterback Davis Glass. They've lost some key defensive players. I am still going to have them in the second tier, the kind of the middle, the meat of this region, just because haven't seen as strong results from them up to this point yet. They do return some players offensively, but I think they lost some key players on defense to graduation. So I've got them slated at tier 2 in the region, falling somewhere in the middle. Still, I think a playoff appearance is definitely in the cards, but not to top the region this season.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate in this rundown. Will that be okay with you?
Yes.
Go ahead. I will give the Maxwell projection team by team as you do it. How do you think about that?
Yeah, that's fine.
So I'm going to tell you that Maxwell projects, and you hit a key point, a lot of it based on history. 8 winning seasons in a row, 8 playoff appearances in a row, including, as we noted, the reigning region champ. And that's exactly where Maxwell projects them, Dawson County, to be at the end of this season. They project them to retain that region champ spot, retain number 1 overall.
So here's a fun thing for Maxwell. They actually predict their record down to the tenth of a decimal. And they're already behind the 8-ball as far as that goes. They have Dawson projected at 7.1 to 2.9. So basically they have them projected at 7-3. They've already lost 4 games. So a little bit as a good job bringing that up in the fact that their system is not perfect. They're already chasing that record. They had a projected basically 7-3. They had them making the playoffs in 98.6% of projections. So making the playoffs more often than not, I do agree with that portion. I think Dawson has a very good chance to be one of the top 4 teams in the region once again.
Now, last year's region runner-up is our opponent Friday night, the Lumpkin County Indians. Where do you see them this season?
So I am very high on Lumpkin. Unlike Maxwell, I was going to read off their projection, but I will save that for you. And they came out of nowhere last year. They have recently not been a strong program. They showed very strong last year under first season under coach Heath Webb. He had some previous stops, one of the more noteworthy ones being at Gainesville, but turned the program around quickly. That has continued on into this year as they've had wins over Union, who had a big win against Fannin, who's put it on both Pickens and Gilmer so far, so that could be a significant win. Also picked up wins against Franklin, Temple, and Hart. They do have a softer schedule. You mentioned the 2-year turnaround on scheduling. I think that Coach Webb probably went to that softer schedule last year in order for his team to kind of get their feet under him, get a feel for what he had, and that's kind of hanging around this year, and I'd look for him to ramp it up next year, especially as he has senior quarterback Cal Faulkner. You'll remember the name. He's moving over from wide receiver to quarterback. They did graduate quarterback last year. Cal was a playmaker at wide receiver. He's an incredible athlete, and taking the ball putting the ball in his hands more often, I should say, at quarterback is going to pay huge dividends for this Lumpkin Indians team. I look for him to be a huge threat this Friday and throughout those tackling problems that I missed. He's not going to make it any easier on anybody. So watch out for Cal this Friday and throughout the season. They've got Mason Solins returning at running back as a senior, and they have a lot of experienced names on defense, a lot of upperclassmen. I actually have them in Tier 1, and they are my pickets, a little bit of an upset to win the region. I think they're one of two teams in this Tier 1, name the other one in just a second, but I like Lumpkin to go well beyond their Maxwell projection and win this region.
Yeah, and the devil's advocacy side being the Maxwell projections, and we'll go ahead and kind of point out some flaws immediately again. Maxwell projects them to be in the bottom of the tier, 6 out of 7 within the region. However, as we point out, their projected wins, they project them to win about 4.5 to 5.5 games. They've already won 4 games. So they've already basically met that standard that Maxwell has set for them, and including, as you noted, Union County, who has beaten Gilmer County, and has beaten Fannin County, who beat us. So this is certainly not a team to sleep on. And I'll note, last year the Maxwell projections on the season also had Lumpkin in the bottom tier, and they were the region runner-up for 2022. So definitely a team to keep our eye on. We will unpack a lot more about Lumpkin on the bottom portion of this podcast as we get outlook for Friday night.
Yeah, that just goes to show we talked about the turnaround, and Maxwell is purely based on historical evidence. So, it will take several years of this consistent success to see a change in something like a Maxwell projection. But moving on, I'm going to do one more team, the upper half. This would have been picking slot 3rd. Obviously, don't need to preview our own team. You know plenty about them for the region. So we'll do the top half from last year, take a break, and then do the second half. Wesleyan rounded out the playoffs for Region 7 AAA last season. If you remember, they got in dramatic fashion. They played Pickens at Pickens the last game of the season. We thought Pickens was already in no matter what. It was just a matter of seeding. However, Wesleyan, either needed a win or a Gilmer loss. Now, the way things looked at the time, Gilmer had a massive lead on White County, who was playing for nothing. They were already eliminated, just playing for pride and finishing the season on a win. And Pickens was taking care of Wesleyan, so it looked like Wesleyan's hopes were done. Gilmer blows a late lead. Wesleyan finds themselves in the playoffs. Now, they had a lot of hype coming into last year, so I would say even though they found themselves in the playoffs, that a 4th-place region finish was a little bit disappointing. This was their first year in 3A after the reclassification as a private school, had previously been at the single-A level. So they took maybe a little bit of step up in competition and didn't fare quite as well as Maxwell and just general perception expected them to. However, this year, I think they'll make quite a leap. They're 2-2 so far. They've had medium schedule strength. I felt like so far they've won the games they should have won and lost the games they should have lost. They've got talent. They've got an All-State wide receiver in Jamie Trimble. I think when we mentioned Kyle Faulkner with Lumpkin, I think that Trimble with Wesleyan kind of, you know, he's not the quarterback, but he kind of plays the same superstar type role, get the ball to him as much as he can. They return starting quarterback Ben Brown. I also have them in Tier 1 along with Lumpkin, the only two teams in Tier 1. I think that potentially their matchup against each other could, the winner of that could end up being the region champion. I think those are the two toughest teams. And ironically, they will be bookends for our region schedule. We will face Lumpkin as the first game of the region schedule, and we will face Wesleyan in the final game of the season. So kind of fitting in a way that we start and finish with what I consider the two best teams in the region.
And Wesleyan is one of the region teams where your prediction kind of matches up pretty closely with Maxwell's projections on the season, actually. They have Wesleyan projected as the number 2 team overall in the region. They have them 91% chance of making the playoffs and expect them to get most likely at least a 6-game win season, 6-7 wins, and have them overall in 2nd. So that pretty much matches pretty closely with your Tier 1 projection for Wesleyan. Now, as you noted, we're going to unpack the other half of the region. Still teams to cover include that old rival from the north, Gilmer County. A lot of people wondering, how they're looking this season and what we can expect against that team. Also got region competitors in White County and West Hall to talk about too. On the other side of this break, don't go anywhere. We got a whole lot more to unpack with the region preview on Dragon Football Weekly.
Piedmont Mountainside Hospital has been a leader of quality medical care in Georgia with 16 consecutive A Hospital Safety Grades Leapfrog Group and consistently ranking in the top 5 Atlanta hospitals in patient excellence. Piedmont offers a wide range of services and specialties including imaging, cardiac rehabilitation, and general surgery to meet the acute and long-term needs of the community. In addition, Piedmont Mountainside offers 24-hour emergency and intensive care in Jasper and in Ellijay. Choose Piedmont Mountainside. Real change lives here.
The word community means everything to the people of Community Bank of Pickens County. Community is much more than a name to the owners and staff. They're proud to be the area's only locally owned and operated bank and have a staff that lives in our area. They've continued to offer in-person service at both of their full-service locations while also offering you the latest online banking technology. Community Bank of Pickens County, saying go Dragons during this football season. Member FDIC.
My dad has always told me, if you want something done right, sometimes that means you just have to do it yourself.
That's right. Dan Jape here with my son, Daniel, excited to share that we're doing it right again.
Introducing Jape Services.
We're the same family that has served Atlanta with reliable heating, cooling, and plumbing services for over 5 decades.
Our professionals at Jape Services are licensed, insured, and ready to assist.
And we're doing it right.
Visit japeservices.com.
From our family
to yours,
japeservices.com.
The Pickens County Recycling Centers are open to serve all residents of Pickens County. They offer free paper shredding and free collections of typical recyclable items such as glass, cardboard, and newspaper. You can also recycle large items such as appliances and mattresses for a small fee. The main recycling center is located at 390 Appalachian Court off the 515, or visit the east side location on Cove Road in Marble Hill. The goal of the Pickens County Recycling Center is to reduce waste to our landfills.
Continuing the region preview here on Dragon Football Weekly, Jess, we were unpacking the first half of the region. We covered Dawson, Lumpkin, and Wesley, and now turning our attention to a team that I know is one these Dragon fans care a whole lot about, that being our deepest and oldest rival just up the road, just up 515, the Gilmer County Bobcats. They have a pretty strong start to this season. They're continuing to build under new coach Paul Standard in his second season. What do we know about Gilmer? What are your projections for the team?
So Gilmer, I think we can actually relate them a lot to Lumpkin County in the fact that they're under new leadership, not quite as new as Lumpkin and Coach Heath Webb, but Paul Standard still getting his system broken in up there. They have had a strong start to this season, 3-1. They lost only to Fannin. They do play a softer schedule, and I think this is another comparison that you can go back to Lumpkin County on. I think that Standard wanted to schedule a few softer opponents, have an opportunity to pick up some wins and gain some steam. I know last year, I will be honest, I was kind of shocked that we walked away with a victory against Gilmer. I hate to say that. They had strong results coming in where we did not to that point in the season. I believe we were 1-5 and we started our winning streak with Gilmer. So, I apologize, but can't hardly blame me based on the results up to that point thus far. So they kind of had the reverse of Pickens last year. They started off strong, finished weak. I have already detailed how they barely missed out on the playoffs, but they'll be looking to get revenge on that this year. Standard, he's old school. We talk a lot about how we never see snaps under center. Saw our first one the other night for a QB knee down, the victory formation. But we will see it against the Bobcats. They run wing T offense with multiple ball carriers led by Wyatt Stokes. It is run, run, run. So a key with them, it is hard for them to come from behind just because they're not used to throwing and moving quick. They take a lot of time with the ball. You will get to see that, I believe. I wanted to say in 3 weeks, but there's another bye week. It's actually in 4 weeks. We will go on the road to visit Gilmer for that big rivalry game, hoping it's not our first region win of the season this year, but hoping it is a region win nonetheless. I have Gilmer in Tier 2. So far, we've had Dawson, and I'll even go ahead and say I've also got Pickens in that Tier 2. So those are three of the teams that I have making up the meat of the region. I think that there will be a lot of trading wins and losses between those teams. Tucker, I'll let you go with the Maxwell before we talk about the fourth and final team in Tier 2.
Yeah, the Maxwell projections have Gilmer kind of mid-tier, I would say. They have them fifth overall in the region, expecting them to get somewhere between 4 and 6 wins overall. They're over halfway there, as you noted, 3 wins currently already. They give them about a 29% chance of making the playoffs. I think that, again, one of the things, those Maxwell projections not taken into the rebuild that Paul Standard's trying to initiate up in Gilmer. How good, how far along they've come, I think still to be determined. You talked about the soft kind of non-region schedule and how even last year they started very strong and ended weak in region play. I think there's still a lot to be determined, but my gut tells me they are better than last year and that they are improving under Coach Standard. We'll see. Still a lot to be determined. One more programming note, as if this rivalry did not need any more excitement. I can tell you that game in LJ between Pickens and Gilmer will take place on Friday the 13th.
Spooky.
So, always a game that I think, rightfully so or not, gets a little more attention than any other, that being that rival game against Gilmer. So I know a lot of fans interested to see just how good Gilmer is or isn't and how we will fare against them. Of course, we'll have a lot more on that during that game week. But certainly a team to keep their eye on. I think you're probably right. Tier 2, mid-tier somewhere. You know, are they a 6-4, 7-3 team? Are they a 4-6, 5-5? That still be, you know, is to be determined. But they're somewhere, I would say, in that mid-tier. And I think anytime Pickens and Gilmer plays, you can expect a competitive matchup. Now, turning our attention, we'll go up a little further into Northeast Georgia, look into White County. This is a team no stranger to us. Not always been in our region. That's a little more recent, but it's a team we have been paired up pretty good bit over the last decade or so. Dragons play in White County. Sometimes Ethan has been in the postseason, so there's a lot of implications. A lot of recent history between the two programs. Where do you have White County?
So I have White County as the fourth and final team falling in Tier 2. I will be honest that I kind of know less about them than any other team in the region. You know, we got to see them last year. We faced them in the pivotal second-to-last game of the season where the loser would be eliminated from playoff contention and the winner was in. Pickens picked up a massive win at home last year versus White. We will again play them the second last game of the season. We'll be in Cleveland this time. So we'll see if, you know, like I said, both in Tier 2, both where head-to-head matchups are going to matter a lot in that back-and-forth tier. So we'll see if that matchup has that large implications like that again this season. They're under second-year coach Chad Bennett, still kind of feeling themselves out. The Maxwell has them a little bit higher on the totem pole than they finished last year and than I have them finishing this year. But I do think that playoffs is not out of the cards for them, that there'll be some 50-50 matchups and could go either way. So I have them rounding out Tier 2 as kind of the middle 50-50 portion of the region.
Maxwell has them making improvement. As you noted, they just missed the playoffs last year, going into that 5 spot overall. Maxwell has them projected getting into the top 4. They actually have them at 3 overall, expecting them to get basically about 6 to 7 wins and about an 82% chance of making the playoffs this season.
It's pretty high, 82%.
We'll see. They're at 500 right now, 2-2. We'll see how things unfold in region play. They did not perform as well last year in region play, but I think, again, this is their second year under a new head coach, and you would imagine and hope, if you're a Warrior fan, that they've made improvements in year 2 under Coach Bennett. Finally, rounding out region play, probably rightfully so, at the bottom of the list is West Hall. This is a team that really has struggled historically and probably don't see a whole lot of change this season.
Yeah, I hated to do this, but I really just in reality, I didn't see any other way around it. I have them in a tier of their own, Tier 3. They didn't pick up any region wins last year. There were some young players and some signs of optimism early this season. Did pick up a win for the second straight year versus Johnson. They were competitive against another cross-county rival, East Hall. So we'll see if they can pick up a region win this year. You certainly don't want to be the team that gives up that region win to them. But as long as it's not Pickens, I would be very happy for West Hall picking up their first region win in the last two seasons. And also, you know, that would also play spoiler for somebody, kind of, as I don't expect them to be a threat as far as playoffs goes. I would love for them to pick up a win somewhere. It would only help us out as long as that win is not against us. They've had a few years now under Crofton Montgomery. One thing I will say about Coach Montgomery, last year when we were doing our pregame, was very helpful to me and very candid in the fact that he kind of knew what he had on the field and that he had faith for years to come. But, 2022 just wasn't their year, and it may even be, you know, little steps that maybe 2023 there's just a couple small steps, and maybe, you know, 2024 you start to see them float more around the 500 record and beyond. So West Hall, they don't stack up against the rest of the region, not yet. But like I said, I would love to see them pick up a win, as long as it's not against Pickens, and maybe knock one of our opponents down a notch and see what they can do there. But I've got them lone by themselves in tier three rounding out the region.
That's where Maxwell has them too, bottom of the list, bottom of the region, with a 2% chance of making the playoffs. Basically, no chance at all. We'll see if they have made many improvements under Coach Montgomery or not. I do want to give, for context to our listeners, where Pickens falls in the Maxwell projections. They have Pickens at number 4 overall, which would make them qualifying for the playoffs again. Four teams make it. They have a 70% chance they give Pickens of making the playoffs. They give us win totals expected basically around about 5 games, really, is what they project, that we'll have about 500 wins.
I want to interject. It's kind of strange because, you know, you just said it, where they project us having about 5 wins. 4.7 is our win total. Lumpkins is 4.6, only a decimal off of Pickens. However, Lumpkin, they have, is a 28% chance of making the playoffs, and Pickens, 70. That just seems very high for a tenth of a win difference.
It is odd, that's a good point. Not sure how they get to these calculations, but interesting note. Just thought, since we gave all the other projected Maxwell projections for all the other teams in the region, Pickens fans would like to know where they have them stacked up. Kind of mid-tier, fourth overall, with a high chance of making the playoffs. We hope they're right. Jess, let's kind of round out your overall projections.
Yeah, I gave the tiers, but I didn't give actually 1 through 7. By the tiers, you can kind of make some conclusion as to where we're going to wind up. But I did tease that I had Lumpkin winning the region. Kind of, I wouldn't say it's a total upset pick, but I do think it is a little bit of a shock being where they were just 2 years ago. So I've got Lumpkin finishing first, Wesleyan second. Those are my tier one teams. Think about these tiers as interchangeable. I'm kind of confident that even though I think these two teams will finish at the top, I could very well see it being reversed as Wesleyan and Lumpkin, you know, vice versa. Tier two consists of 4 teams that I think could also be interchangeable. I've got Dawson at number 3. Pickens, same place as Maxwell, 4, securing that playoff spot. I tried not to be very biased in this prediction and used, you know, what I felt was possible of happening, might happen. Like I said, the tiers are all kind of interchangeable here. So I've got Pickens securing the last playoff spot at 4, White County 5, Gilmer 6, and then West Hall bringing up the rear. One or two matchups could really skew this thing out, especially in that tier two. I think all those tier two matchups, and even the matchups, you know, against some of these tier one teams might be important. And, you know, even though I have Wesleyan in tier one, we picked up again a win against them last year, certainly possible this year. I do think Friday we will have a rough go of it with Lumpkin. Don't think a win is out of reach, but we will jump into that, I guess, kind of after this break. I'll let you kind of give a little pushback on those, that 1 through 7 standing, if you have any.
I hate to not, but I don't have a lot of pushback. I think it's a pretty fair assessment, being that we haven't had a region contest yet. I think certainly Wesleyan Dawson, Lumpkin, I consider all three of them kind of top tier. I would maybe push back a little in your confidence in Lumpkin and a little bit of a drop in confidence in Dawson. I just don't think enough has happened yet to be able to determine that. I think very well possible, but I haven't seen enough to think Lumpkin County is going to run the table and win the region this year. Certainly, I think they're improving, but I don't have as much confidence in them as you if I had to push back on anything. And I think Dawson's still a very dominant program. So I would probably have them a little higher on the list. I think Pickens is kind of that mid-tier, finding their way. I mean, we were down a little last year about the way the season was looking, kind of how we are now. And then they won four out of the five last games and secured a playoff spot. So I think they're very similar spot this year. Still a lot of game to be played out. What will be big for Pickens is seeing how is White County, how is Gilmer County, have they improved? Are they gonna slip and miss those playoff spots, or have they improved and they're going to beat out Pickens for that fourth spot? I think that's kind of the play at hand. But we'll see. People hold us to account on our predictions. We'll see how accurate or inaccurate we are as region contest gets underway very soon. Friday night we'll start it out. And on the other side of this break, we will look at the Lumpkin game that's going to come up Friday night. Again, starting with the Northside pregame show at 7, kickoff 7:30 between the Indians and Dragons in Jasper. We'll have coverage for that for you on 93.7, 98.1 FM and streaming online. On the other side, more outlook for Lumpkin. And a few programming notes. Don't go anywhere.
Pueblo Cantina is Jasper's best Mexican restaurant. Local folks know they use only fresh ingredients and serve a wide variety of freshly made dishes. Restaurants come and go, but Pueblo Cantina has been open since 1997. Lunch or dinner 7 days a week. Come to Jasper's best Mexican restaurant, Pueblo Cantina, 25 Luke Carver Drive at 53 and 515 Jasper. Go Dragons!
In sports, every point counts, and at Alpha Insurance, they know when it comes to your budget, every dollar counts. That's why they work hard to get you the lowest rates and best discounts available. Plus, every Alpha policy comes with personal service from their hometown team. Call Alpha to start saving today. In Jasper, call Alpha agent Bill Lawrence at 706-692-2436 or stop by their office at 744 Noah Drive. Score savings with Alpha Insurance.
J.L. Weaver Law Firm of Jasper is proud to be part of the Pickens County community. They're behind the Dragons all the way and want to congratulate all the players, cheerleaders, and band members who've put in countless hours of work for this season. The J.L. Weaver Law Firm specializes in criminal defense, DUI, personal injury, and family law. 57 Southeast Street, Jasper. Call 706-253-1001. J.L. Weaver Law Firm.
Back now on Dragon Football Weekly, looking ahead to the contest Friday night to start out region play at home against Lumpkin County. We traveled there last year, Jess, and had a pretty ugly loss against the Indians. I don't have that final score in front of me. I don't know if you do or not, but I know that it was pretty lopsided. Give us your thoughts. Do you think we're able to get some revenge, some payback at home this Friday night? Or do you think it's going to be a struggle for the Dragons and not really the game they need, three losses in a row?
So I think that loss wound up not being – I mean, it was the large gap between the two teams. You know, that remains the same. I do think it looked a little less worse as the year went on because we went into that game with expecting a Lumpkin County school that had struggled as they had basically for the past decade, and were shocked as they really took it to us in Dahlonega. Now, what I was getting at is, you know, they ended up finished second in the region. Only two region losses were to the top teams in the region, Dawson and Lumpkin. So it ended up not looking as bad by the time the season ended, but I think it will be once again very tough. I actually think they are going to be a better team this year with Faulkner touching the ball as much as he possibly can as the quarterback. Last year they had senior Cooper Scott. He obviously did a serviceable job, but Cal is on another level when it comes to athleticism, and I think we're going to have our hands full. Now, one thing about that, this year the game is in Jasper. It is at home. Last year we had a very home strong record where our road record was basically flip-flopped. I believe we went 1-4. Sorry, 1-5 on the road and 4-0 at home. Is that correct?
We did have.
Or no, we didn't win any. I'm sorry. I do not have this in my notes. I'm just trying to do it off of top of my head.
We were undefeated at home. That's true.
Yeah. No, we were undefeated at home all four of those games. So I guess.
And 1-5
on the road. 1-5 on the road. Okay.
We beat West Hall.
Yes. So we do have that flipped this year. Now. You know, you might just say that was a coincidence of the opponents that we had at home versus the opponents we had on the road. But that will be one edge we will have against Lumpkin. You know, be a fired up crowd. The boys should be excited. First game of region play, opportunity to once again turn the season around. However, I do think we're going to have our hands full come Friday night. And if we did not walk away with a win, I would not sound the alarm at the 1-4 record we'll be facing, or 0-1 in region, I guess is the best way I would put it.
I did find that score. It was a 42-7 final in Dahlonega last year when we took on Lumpkin. I think for sure the Dragons are the underdogs come Friday night. We'll have a little more of that on the Northside pregame show, what the spread is, what the predictions are. Certainly the underdog. It would be a huge victory at home if they were able to beat Lumpkin County, I think. Should be, hopefully, a good contest. And to start out region play, we'll see what all plays out. But certainly going to have their hands full on a very good Lumpkin team that is really rebuilding a program under Coach Heath Webb. One kind of aspect that we can say is, unfortunately, I will not be there, Jess.
You will not. Nothing new for listeners who've been around you. Same weekend every year, correct?
It is. Same weekend, September. I have a work conference that I cannot miss, so I will be absent for the game Friday night, but I have no doubt fans are in good hands.
Broadcasters TBD. We can't name exactly who those good hands, what good hands they will be in. There is a slight chance that you might see, actually there's more than a slight chance, I would say, that you would see me playing a new role and sliding over into Tucker's role of play-by-play, while the broadcaster for the mercenary broadcaster, if you will, fills my role as color commentator. However, there is at least one idea of a feeling that I have that would allow me to remain in color. We'll see how that goes. Hopefully you don't get me all by myself, although I guess that is the slimmest of possibilities as well. You know, if we can't fill it in, if you want to submit your resume, you can submit away to us for filling in there. But I should tell you there are a couple folks already in line ahead of you, but feel free to do so if you want to hop on.
We'll have quality coverage for you as always, though. No doubt my absence or not may improve with me gone. A couple more programming notes for you. No Dragon Football Weekly next week. We will not have a show as the Dragons are on their second bye of the season. No game on September 29th, Friday, September 29th. The Dragons have the night off for my birthday, actually. That the bye week comes. So. No game that next Friday night, no Dragon Football Weekly next week. So for any of our fans looking out there, we will return the first week of October with the Dragon Football Weekly podcast, and we will have a game against Dawson on October 6th, so be sure to tune in to that. More importantly, this Friday night, tune in to our fans. I will be tuning in from my work conference. I want to listen to see what's going on with the Dragons. You can find us on 93.7, 98.1 FM and streaming online. Appreciate you tuning in to this podcast. If you found us, you know how to find us. You can find us every week simply by searching Dragon Football Weekly wherever you listen to your podcast. I want to quickly thank our sponsors that make this coverage of Pickens football possible. Community Bank of Pickens County, Northside Hospital, Culver's of Jasper, Piedmont Mountainside, J.L. Weaver Law Firm, Pickens County Recycling, Alpha Insurance, Bill Lawrence Agency, Jape Services, ETC, and Pueblo Cantina. We appreciate you trusting us for your coverage of Pickens football. That concludes the episode for this week. Tune in Friday night, Pickens in region action against Lumpkin County.